And cute. Okay. Right.
It's the wine. I've got the giggles. I can't. Okay.
Okay. Hi guys. Welcome to Two Scottish Birds. This is a comedy podcast by two Scottish millennial females. My name's Felicity.
And I'm Megan. Hello.
We, you know, like to discuss subjects around the issue of dating and relationships and embarrassing stories, etc. But this episode here is kind of all about friendships and the importance of them and how they can sometimes you can sometimes forget about how important they are when chasing love or career and all that kind of stuff. And we kind of also bring to the fore and provide you with more information about our friendship and how we came to be, if you, you know, do so care.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all itching to know.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope you enjoy. I hope you're all staying strong in this lockdown. We're nearing the end. We can do it. Rely on your friends. Talk to your friends.
True. And then soon we'll be drinking with our friends. Yay.
Yes, so bring on 21st of June. Or actually sooner, really, technically.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But yes. Okay, well, enjoy.
Right, guys, welcome back. Yeah, as we said, today we're just going to be chatting about friendships. Basically, because this podcast we've kind of created and are hinging around loosely around the subject of romantic relationships and dating and embarrassing stories and all that kind of stuff, but we just thought it would be nice to touch upon other kind of relationships, non-romantic relationships, aka friendships, and the importance of kind of honouring other parts of your life, and how that can kind of fall at the wayside if you're kind of like constantly dating and that kind of thing.
Very true, actually. Very true. And something I think as you get older, you actually learn kind of, well, 100%, you learn, I think, to be better at keeping your friendships. When you're young, they drift a lot more, I think, when you start dating. But I definitely know as an older female now, I'm like a lot more conscious of keeping them and maintaining like really good relationships with all of my girls. And I want to say guys, but I don't actually have that many guy friends.
Yeah, so. No, same. But I guess one thing I've thought about friendships is that, like, so quite often, well, you know, say in like with boyfriends or romantic relationships, those relationships are like really intense, but they often like don't last. Like, they don't. 90% of relationships fail. Like 40% of like marriages and in divorce. And the chance, like, they, not the chances are, but like they're often kind of really intense and relatively short lived. But at the same time, you learn a lot from them. And they mark your lives in a positive or a negative way. But friendships are kind of, they're less intense, but they tend to be quite a lot of the time more long lasting. And perhaps like you might, you know, drift apart and then find yourselves kind of later on in life. But kind of, I think people can forget that. This is why I imagine that when you get to like an old age, you'd be surprised about the amount number of friends that you still have. And just you know, remembering to put in the effort there, and
yeah, no, that's actually true. Like, I don't often think of it that way, but yeah, I've had friends that, I mean, we're going on like 26, 27 years this year that we've had friendships with some of my oldest friends, so like from, you know, proper childhood. So no, that is a fair point, and especially in my case, they drastically, you know, outlive the number of years I've been in relationships with people. And then, yeah, and I guess it's worth, I guess, starting with, well, how you and I met, really. We can tell the story.
Yeah, so you and I met, like, via an app, actually.
Oh, God, here we go.
We started off as lesbian lovers, and then we met via the best app for making friends, Spare Room.
Who knew?
That's how we met. And we I lived with you for a year and a half in your flat in Gargi, on the HMSC. And I came around to kind of view your flat, and then we ended up just chatting for like 2 hours, didn't we?
We did.
I won't like give too many of the details, but basically,
again, I was gonna say, are you gonna tell the full
I'm gonna
story?
No, no, I'm like, gonna anonymize yeah. it.
I was like, I'm 100% gonna dob you in if you don't tell the story.
No, I'm not gonna tell it, but like, just that you tease an analogy, like, you know, guys, if you don't know how well you know the film Bridget Jones, and then she's kind of trying to get a new job in a new field, and then she keeps messing up, and the last one she just comes in and is like purely honest, and is like, I need a new boss, I need a new job because I shagged my boss. And it was mm-hmm. like, that was not the exact case at all, but it was that level of honesty of just turning up and telling a random situation that I'd got myself into.
And somehow I found it weirdly endearing and was like, yep, she's the one.
Yeah.
But then it's really interesting because to touch on that story, my flatmate before you, it was a really similar scenario where she turned up and she literally said, yeah, I've shagged my flatmate and I need to move.
She literally was that story, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I live with a guy, I had sex with him and now I have to leave.
Aww.
I know, bless her. And then there was you, yes, who had gotten yourself into a situation as well that you didn't really want to confront, and you were just like, but if I move in here, I've got the perfect excuse.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh sure.
Yeah, and then it worked out, and we actually ended up going on holiday together, like, I think after like 6 weeks or something, or maybe more.
Yeah, we're both sun worshippers and just had to.
Yeah, we had the best holiday. We went to the Amalfi Coast. I keep mm-hmm. thinking about that during, I don't know if you, during lockdown, you just have memories of like how good your life used to be, and like, will I ever be back there? Will I ever feel those feelings? And like, a few of those moments have been, at the Amalfi Coast. It was such a beautiful holiday, such a beautiful place. And like, the weather was good. Yeah, it was class.
Such nice weather. It was so good.
Yeah. So yeah, and then we lived together for a year and a half, and then yeah, I did abandon you to go move down to London.
It's true.
And
it's true. But then we've sustained, it seems, which is nice. I think you can always like hope and put the effort in, but sometimes you never, like, it does take effort on both parts, I think, especially when someone's moving away. But yeah, I've managed to go down there for a visit, and you've been back up here, and I swear I'm on the first train down the minute I'm allowed to be.
Yes, I actually can't wait.
Celebrations.
But yeah, I think it helps kind of, being in these smartphone times, being able to kind of retain relationships and when you're far away. It's kind of got pros and cons, I guess, because then it also means you can get into cyber relationships.
Another episode.
That's a different podcast.com.
Yeah, we need to really plan that one out. It's going to be good.
So that's how we kind of became friends. But I guess, like, once you get, you're finished uni and all that kind of thing, and you're part of the workforce, I think making new friends can be quite challenging.
That's so much harder.
And it's kind of being able to live with someone is actually a really good way to meet other people and get to know them quite well, I feel like. It just takes a many hours, I think, to actually build up a friendship, to get to know each other. And so if you think about like how much time you're spent, if you met a new friend, I don't know, via work, or it's, I don't even know, like, the places where people meet new friends these days. I think we can also talk about that, because if you actually need to do it, like, if you moved into a new city, it can be really challenging. But then once you manage to do that, then you need to kind of build up the hours into the relationship to get to know each other.
It takes, like, really consistent effort. Like, it's not the same as when you were five or six and you ran up to someone on the playground and, like, 1 hour later you were besties.
like, if only adult relationships work that way, but they definitely do not. I find making friendships harder than dating. Like, it's something I feel way more uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
It takes, like, a lot of pursuing, and I think you're never quite certain of, like, do I ask them now to go for a coffee or a drink? Or especially with work friends, you're like, where is this boundary?
Yeah. And it's also kind of, there's perhaps, like, you know, you meet people, like friends who you just or new people who you kind of vibe with, and then it kind of it might kind of develop naturally. But then at the same time, you might be in a new city, which both of us have kind of had done. Like, I've come to London, and then you also moved to Edinburgh, and we both probably had like a few contacts there, but at the same time it's still like a new place. And there's in those times that you have to grow your network, you have to meet people, and then so that, like, need that can also come with like you have to put yourself out more, and there's you don't want to come across as desperate, but at the same time you are fucking desperate and not got any pals, and like yeah, it is like super challenging. And I have to say that even though I moved down to London from Edinburgh, I had already a few friends here, and I've kind of they're my friends still, and the people who I've got to know is kind of just is via them. Like, I can't imagine, and lots of people do this, like going to a new city where you don't know anyone, like completely on your own. It's so scary. I can't even imagine.
I know. I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like my only experience of that was actually uni.
Yeah.
Because I actually, like, none of my immediate friends, like, they were in my kind of close friendship group or even slightly extended that I used to hang out with, like, none of them went to my uni. So I went up to Aberdeen for uni, and like, yeah, not very many people from my year did, and certainly nobody that I was currently friends with. So that was probably my first experience of that. And at least if you go up into halls, you're instantly grouped, and I was living in my flat was all girls. So, like, I instantly then had, like, six other girls that were all in the exact same boat as me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of forced friends, especially for freshers, where you just don't want to go out. And you're like, okay. So that kind of gets you through. And then people on your course, but you're with them day in and day out. So when you're in, like, working life, you don't have that same intensity, that it takes so much longer.
Yeah, you also kind of start... You're all in the same boat when you start uni. You all are totally on your own. And you need to make friends. It's actually the last instance, like, when that really happens. Like, even when you join a new job, you're starting there on your own. And then those relationships are already there. Mm-hmm. And then there's an issue, like, I don't know about you, but so far in my career, I've kind of not made, like, I have made friends at work, but I maybe become better friends with them once I've left. I've kind of always had a bit of a line. Mostly because, like, I guess in most of my 20s I was just like quite rad on the weekends. I didn't want my work to work.
Didn't want them on your social.
Yeah, judging me, like, and then knowing exactly why I can't do my job on a Monday. And then so I kind of made a bit of a delineation there. But I think, like, that is now that I am like in London in a new city, and we've been like in lockdown, which is obviously again an excuse for not networking and making new friends. I think that, like, in the future I hope to, I don't know, I do hope to make like more friends at work, and hopefully there'll be less need for the delineation because I'm now older and you know, more serious about everything.
Well, hopefully in your new job upcoming, you meet some pretty sad people.
Yeah, I've got a new job, guys.
Make some new friends.
Yeah. But how have you approached kind of like making work friends? Do you have friends that you have from work? Do you like, where do you draw the line of like professional, non-professional, social?
I do have, let me think, I need to go through my jobs now. I think I would say I have maybe three, like, real friends from previous jobs that I would class as, like, good friends. Like, my last team before my current job, which I started, like, in the pandemic, so that's been very different from meeting people. That's a totally different dynamic, so I'm yet to really
figure all that out. When I meet people in person, I might find my like tribe, my like sarcastic, dark humoured people. But I have a couple of friends from my previous job. One of them, the thing I like about work friends is actually they don't need to be in your kind of typical groups. So like for instance, if we made friends that we were going to go out with and drinking with and stuff, like you think similar to your own age, similar to like your life stage and various more people you've known since your childhood and stuff. But I have a friend who's probably like a good 10 years older than me or not, and he's like a male, he's married with kids, but we get on like a house on fire, and we did. And that's actually been really nice to have a friendship that's totally different, different dynamic, like someone who is in a different demographic entirely, and I would never have ended up being friends with any other way.
Yeah,
I then have two other really good girlfriends from work, and the funny thing is we probably largely started to bond over complaining about work.
So British.
Yeah, so one of them, like, we both detested our jobs, and like we just used to go out to lunch together and moan about everybody else in the office and like everything was happening, and then that formed like a really solid base. And then I left and she left as well shortly after me, or which way around was it, I don't remember. And then we stayed friends, which was great. And that's similar what happened with my other friendship from my last job, is we ended up having to work in tandem like for a good year that I think brought us a lot closer because we were in constant contact.
Yeah.
And then now I've left, I'm almost like a soundboard for her for things about work that she's not happy about. Because I can relate. And yeah, I think it is very British, like, to bond over something you detest.
Yes, no, it is.
Right. It's like when you stand in a queue, you see the person behind you because you're both moaning about the wait. It's that kind of thing, just on another level.
Yeah.
And then I think that's maybe it in terms of, like, who had classes, like, really good friends. I have other, like, friendly relationships where, like, I certainly don't dislike them, I'd stop and speak to them, I'd happily like have contact with them here and there if they'd drop me a DM or anything, I'd speak away. But in terms of like really good friends that know a lot about me and I know a lot about them, and I would like, you know, send them flowers on their birthday, that's probably it, I'd say. Because yeah, it's weird to breach that boundary.
Yeah, it is weird, like with work friends as well, that you know, I say that like you know, they perhaps might, historically, people I've worked with have known too much about like any hedonic stuff I might have been getting up to, you know, the weekends and stuff. But at the same time, you do kind of understand each other's temperament, and you perhaps do have play privy to you know, certain things about them. And then quite often when you leave, it's like you never see them again in your life. Like,
yeah,
for a lot of the people you work with, is yeah, it's weird. And you obviously, you spend so much time at work, you spend 60% of your waking life at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then yes, it is actually, there's a lot of goodbyes there, if you're like a normal millennial who kind of like changes jobs every couple of years, which seems to be the norm.
Yeah, good, I'm glad you said that, because I have been an average of like 2 years a job roughly, and then I get super bored and have to leave.
Yeah, I know, I'm the same. I know. It's very different how our parents, you know, operated.
Oh my god, like total like brand, like firm loyalty. Therefore, like the generation above me, my old job, people had been there 20 plus years, and to me that is like death.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh my god, how are you not like suffocated? What is this?
The same day, like the exact same day, like,
yeah, I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah, but you know, it costs so much for you know, recruitment costs so much, like,
yeah,
I'm sure there's many strategies at play. In fact, my sister kind of works in this kind of field. But they would really benefit by, employers would really benefit by making it more attractive to our generation to like stay a bit longer. But certainly, I know that my track record and quite a few of my friends is to hop around every couple of years. And to be honest, not entirely. I think for me, that a driving force has been like just needing a change, like I can't just getting, it's not bored, but just like I need a reset and a new challenge and to shake up a bit. But like also it's one of the easiest ways to get a salary hike, isn't it?
Like, yeah, true. And actually, a weird question. Do you think that single people change jobs more frequently than people in, like, happy long-term relationships? Because I was wondering about this, and someone said, like, the last time I wasn't happy in my job and I was looking to change, someone said to me, I think it was, like, a family member, was like, yeah, but if you were, like, all loved up and started dating someone or something, your work wouldn't be as much of a focus, so you wouldn't realise how unhappy you are at work. And I was like, that's a weird perspective, but I kind of get what you mean. But I was like, okay, right.
Well, I don't know how long that... Maybe like that, like when you first kind of are talking to someone, like in the first initial weeks when you're actually like blinded and by excitement, you're maybe looking at everything with rose tinted glasses, including your crap job, or yeah, distracted. But I don't think that... for me, that would not last like more than like a couple of weeks sort of thing. And I know just from kind of outside in looking, like obviously people who have kids, they're less likely to move jobs because they need stability.
100%.
Yeah,
especially if you work in a job that's like really cushy, in the sense of like they're very good with like flexible working hours, they're very good with like holiday pay, sick pay, all those things. Like I worked with a guy who he's like miserable in his job. He hates his job. He rants about it at every given chance. But then when you were like, well, why don't you change? He's like, well, you know, kids and mortgage. And I'm like, well, you could still change jobs. Like, that's a cop out. But like, definitely, it's a different type of priority.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think that like work, dating, friends, like I like to think that they are quite separate. But no, perhaps they're not. I don't know.
Maybe somebody was just trying to guilt me again for like being single. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, if you weren't single, you'd be happy in your job. I'm like, really? Because I think it would still be just as unfulfilling.
That was the point, saying that you're single, and that's why all
that's
parts
why
of your
I'm
life
unhappy.
Is shit. Thanks.
I know. You're like, oh, great.
Lord.
I know. Love what comes out of people's mouths sometimes.
I know. Well, at least they're honest. But we're going to talk a little bit about ways to make new friends. We talked earlier off cam, but there's no, but just to set the scene here, if people don't know how this podcast is recorded, like I was thinking, like I wonder if they think that we're together, like, so just full disclosure, like we're not together. We're in Edinburgh, London. We also can't see each other. Yeah. It's not a video recording. It's just, this is essentially you're listening into one of our phone calls, basically.
It's pretty much, yeah. It's pretty much just like we're on speaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yes. Previously, before we started recording, we were talking about...
Well, it started with noisy neighbours. I was complaining
about
my neighbour.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
I
was going to talk about, like, writing to people in jail.
Yeah, but, like, it escalated so quick. It went from, like, noisy neighbors to emails to then pen pals.
Then
you started being like, can I write to people in jail? And I was like, maybe they have email addresses.
Yeah,
and
I'll potentially drop it in if I think you might find it helpful or interesting or funny if you're a reader. But like I was thinking, like, this is a way to make new friends in a pandemic if you wanted to write to your local criminal, like, and have a romantic kind of like pen pal relationship.
Something, yeah, and Felicity,
you know,
also
might not
suggest,
considered.
Yeah, also suggesting, well, by you, not by me, is that you filter by crime. So, like, if you have a particular interest in robberies or murder, you can, you know,
or which one you find like less horrific and more romantic. You know what I mean?
What crime do you find romantic?
I've not thought about it.
Although I bet you can totally relate to, like, if you're a Scorpio, like, I bet you can totally relate to, like, crimes of passion where some guy came home, found his wife cheating.
Yes!
And you're like,
yes!
You're like, yeah, that's,
oh my
justified.
God, that's exactly the one. That's exactly the crime. Like, something like, yeah, like that. Exactly. Like,
you're like, that bitch deserved it. She's done.
Like, poets in jail. I'm interested in it. And I'm not going to lie, once we finish this episode, I'm going to look at the possibilities and I'll let you know. Anyway, so apart from getting in touch with criminals, there are other ways to make friends, which, as you said, like, as you get a kind of a bit older, like past uni, it's more eight stage, it's difficult, especially if you're moved into a new city, or perhaps like we have kind of talked about before that I guess going into our 30s, this is kind of like a key decade when people reach different life stages at different times, or not at all. For example, people might have kids essentially and not, and then in my experience, quite often, like, you know, as much as you try, quite often your life changes quite a lot when you have kids, and perhaps the things you have in common, you have more things in common with other friends who do have kids. This hasn't massively happened to me, but I can just see it happening, and I've got a sister who's older with kids and stuff. So just thinking about like what would our listeners, like, if they're in a situation where they're lonely essentially, and they're needing to make new connections and network and make new friends, because obviously we've said that spare room worked for us.
Spare room, yeah, they're missing. They should start marketing themselves as like a friendship service.
Yeah. However, you may not be moving house or getting in a renter.
True.
Also, we touched upon, you know, writing to your local criminal, which I'll provide more information on once I've done this. But yeah, how have you kind of gone about like making new friends when you've had to? Has it been scary?
I mean, I probably made more of a conscious effort at work. So, like, fair enough, if you start a job and you have loads of friends, you don't really think about it. But I probably, when I worked, this would have been, like, a couple of jobs ago, in line with when I moved into Edinburgh, I probably was more aware that I should try harder to make friends at that time. And if, like, any of my existing friends invited me to anything that was, like, a group thing, with like some of their friends, like, I always made an effort to try to go. So even if I felt pretty uncomfortable because like I only knew my one friend who'd asked me along, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know any of the other girls that are going, I don't know this, like, I kind of tried to force myself to go anyway, because I was like, this is kind of like you said, it's like networking and meeting these other people, and the chances are if they're friends with your friend, you have that in common, and you obviously have some things in line because you have similar interests and stuff. And like you're a similar age and all those things. So that's probably one thing. And then when I moved into Edinburgh, I was really lucky with this, and I'm sure it's not really necessarily the case with everyone, but I went to this thing called, it's run by an organisation, I think, called Meetup, and they have so many, they have an app and like a website and stuff, but they run these sort of social groups. Most of them are based on interests, so I know there's loads surrounding like sport, or like maybe you're into like, I don't know, writing or reading or whatever. There's loads of like various things, you filter by that. But there's one that was just like for like girls who were like new to the city and didn't really know people. So I went to one of those nights, and I was shitting a brick. I just want to put that out there. Like, I was so nervous. Because I was like, what if like nobody else goes? What if it's so deserted? What if the people are like super weird? And like, what if nobody speaks to me? It felt like a weird version of speed dating. Like, on my way there, I was like, oh shit. But when I went, there was like 30 or 40 girls there. Like, it was actually really busy. And they were all like kind of my age. They were all so nice. And there was one girl who was like, absolutely mental. Yeah, she was from Texas actually, and she was just off her nut. But I like got speaking to one girl, and then we kind of drifted towards these other two girls, and it was really like a natural thing where you just click with people, and the four of us got on really well. We had a massive laugh, we had like quite a lot to drink, and then we kind of all had this huge giggle about the fact that one of them in her previous attempts to make friends got rejected from a book club that she wanted to join. It was like a social book club, and they refused her basically, and she was like, beyond being interested in books, like, what the fuck is their like priority level here? Yeah, we all hit it off and we're still friends, and I miss them, to be honest. They're almost like my single gals in Edinburgh. Like, we have like wine nights and nights out, and it's been so long now, but that worked out really well, and that was just from going once, whereas like stuff like this, they run them kind of every week, they do something. So we were just lucky, but then like we made a WhatsApp group and like ended up then going and doing things out with that. But I would definitely recommend, it's a bit nerve-wracking, and like you're definitely unsure about it, and you feel, like you said before, like a wee bit of you feels a wee bit desperate for going, that you're like, oh my god, I'm just a Norman and I need some pals.
Did you say a Norman?
A Norman.
I've not heard that word in about 15 years.
I keep dropping this on people. Like, I said it the other day to someone and they said the exact same thing. They were like, oh my god, I've not heard that phrase in so long. And then it was the one, what did I say in work the other day? I was like, oh, that's a bit shan. And oh, someone was like, oh my god. I'm bringing back my high school like terminology. But sometimes it's just the perfect way to describe something. Yeah, everybody knows what we mean. So yeah, I definitely was nervous to like say to anyone. I was like, oh my god, they're gonna think I'm like so sad. But it actually worked out really well, and I'm so glad I went. So I would definitely encourage people to do that. One of my friends mentioned to me recently, because she was saying that she's got no single friends anymore for like nights out and stuff. Like at the drop of a hat, like spontaneous shit that you don't need to plan, you know, where you can just message someone at the end of work on Friday and be like, do you want to go for a drink? And like, they're free to do that.
Yeah.
That's what, like, you kind of need that, I think, if you still are single and living in a city, you need the flexibility. And they said to me they were going to maybe try Bumble, but for, it's got like a
Bumble,
friend,
yeah,
option, or like a BFF option.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've not done that, but I'll let you know how they get on.
Yeah, no, I thought about that. I wonder, like, maybe I'll try and do that when you know, lockdown is over.
Yeah. The other option is dating. I mean, I have a friend, is it one friend, that I did actually date in the beginning.
Yeah, how did you manage that? Because I thought about that on so many occasions. That, okay, not on this, there's maybe a couple of guys I've dated, and then we've been on one date, and I'm like just so annoyed that I had to meet them in a kind of a date setup, because then obviously, yeah. I said before in a previous episode that one of the things I don't like about dating apps is they're setting up for someone to get micro rejected or rejected, because true. Someone has to be like, I don't want to go on a second date, when ultimately if you'd kind of met not in a date setting, like in a club or whatever, you might have both realized like there wasn't a vibe, or it never would have got to the date stage, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but there has been a few occasions when I'm like, I'm so annoyed that like this person was like so fun, really liked them, or and I'm like, if I'd only, but I couldn't like, anytime I've been like, well, let's just be friends, like, it's never worked out like that, because someone's always felt like, kind of felt jilted.
Or and I guess that begs another question: do you believe that males and females have a purely platonic friendship?
I mean, historically, I've always ended up. Wait, sorry, what the fuck? That's not coronavirus. Wait.
I'm fine. I guess for me, the only ones I think are purely platonic is like when you're friends with like one of your friends' partners.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that in that case, I think yes, because like you only ever see them really with your friend, and they're into your friend. So like they're kind of only around you because your friend made them be there.
Yeah,
that makes
no,
sense.
You don't
go to lunch with them on your own. Like their friend, your friend forced them to attend that social thing, so that's why they're there. It's not because they really like you.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of like one positive. Like I'm kind of, well, I feel like actually I'm 30, and I feel like a lot of single women who or single people who are 30 might feel that they are the only single one of their friends, or one of the, you know what I mean, it's just that kind of age. Yeah. Actually a lot of people are together, and that is the, you know, the case for me largely. But like I have to say, like the guys that all my friends have kind of settled down with, they're all so nice, so lovely, and I'm so, even though like it's like, oh, I'm a bit left out, like, but what you know, their relationships have brought into my life, like these really lovely guys who you know, I do like consider them friends.
Yeah,
and it's really like and obviously 100,000% like platonic, like they're like my brothers. But but it's kind of, yeah, it's also interesting, like getting like, you know, guys' perspective and stuff from them. But yeah, apart from those kind of friendships, which I have an abundance of now and I'm really grateful for, there I don't have as many guy friends.
that you've like just met and are friends with, like just you without the
because most of the guys I do meet are have been
on dates
and then there's just like this is like a micro dumping and then you're that's it. You don't like
it
because I'm at beset, but you've made friends through apps, did you say? Like, well, actually, haven't you?
I've made like I guess one. I'm like, have I made a friend through an app? Let me think. This is where it gets difficult because this is where you start to forget all the people you've dated. Which sounds bad, but yeah, I think apps are notorious for you going on a lot of first dates. So have I made friends? Like, how many? I think only one I would say I've made friends with, that is actually a friendship, that we've stayed in like regular contact and we've spent time together, like one-on-one as friends. But then I'm now like, oh, but is there an undertone? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's like that old When Harry Met Sally question. Can men and women really be friends? Because obviously in that film, he claims that even when the man always wants to shag the women.
Yeah.
Like somewhere deep down. And to be fair, like I have had a few really close guy friends at some point, at different points, but then I've always ended up getting with them and then that's the end of friendship and then it's crumbled.
I get what you mean because in my head I'm like, have all the guys I've been really good friends with, have I ended up fancying them? And I think a lot of them, the answer is yes at one point or another, whether it was actioned or not. I have had a form of feelings for most of them. Like, I mean, two of my relationships stemmed from friendships initially. So, yes. I'm like, oh, no. Okay. So, I guess I'm erring towards, like, unless they're in a relationship with one of your friends, then largely there's probably an undertone when it's, like, a different person.
Yeah. Sadly.
So we're agreeing with Harry.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I probably do as well.
Okay.
I don't kind of have another kind of question for us to kind of discuss, and that's kind of about social media and friendships and how social media affects the design of friendships compared to, you know, think about like how a friendship would be in the 90s. Like for example, if I moved away to London, like we wouldn't be as friendly because we wouldn't be able to talk as much, like unless we were talking on a landline every night or whatever, because you know we send each other, you know, WhatsApps and
we'd be on MSN. What do you mean?
That's in the 90s. Nah. This is before the computer. I saw something recently being like, do you remember
year was MSN? Did that come? I'm trying to place my 2000s. Age
now. I see after millennium.
Oh my god, shit. Yeah, because I was only 8 in the millennium. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like 8 or 9. Okay, fine.
Yeah, so, take it back to the 90s. So I feel like, when people moved away, you would kind of usually kind of lose contact, maybe send like a letter or something.
We'd be pen pals.
Yeah, we'd be pen pals.
Bring it back. You're going to get a letter from me next week.
Can I bring that up? Like what we were talking about before?
Yeah.
This is another story. Like we had all the content before we started recording this podcast, guys.
Yeah, all the fun came at the beginning.
I'm still mulling over this, but Megan basically admitted or told me, or like she had a pen pal. You know, we all kind of, I think we had maybe all had stages when we were very young that were either school enforced or not. We had pen pals, but she had a pen pal who was a guy pen pal, but it was when she was like working age, like 16, and they wrote to each other, like when we were probably, you know, out drinking, and this is in my living memory, and I just and I asked like who was writing the letters and who was replying, because someone must be writing them, and she claims he was the one writing the letters and she was replying.
Oh god, but I'm honestly like, I took a mouthful of wine at the same time and now I'm like, tears are streaming, I can't. I need to explain this.
You lived a very different life to me at 16, honestly.
Some might say I'm just like romantic. No, that's not true. I obviously have a thing for letters. Like I talked about that person writing me a breakup letter that was like 10 pages long. Like maybe guys just feel a need to write shit down when I'm around. No,
it's because they don't let them get a word in verbal speak. I had a proper pen pal when I was a kid. I met her on holiday. We were on holiday, and like her name, oh my god, I had multiple. So that wee girl's name was like Siobhan. We met in like Turkey, both on family holidays, and we were proper small. So she was like my pen pal. And our parents probably encouraged that because, you know, it's like reading and writing and friends, I think, and international stuff.
This is acceptable, yeah.
Yeah. And then I had another pen pal who I met. She was like the daughter of a guy who worked with my dad. And again, we kind of went on family holidays together. Long story short, my dad worked in the realm of lighthouses, and you can go to lighthouse cottages. Used to be able to, people that worked there got lighthouse cottages, and they're super picturesque places around Scotland. Anyway, they were there at the same time we were. And then we proceeded to like keep in touch. And she used to write me like using like coloured paper and like gel pens, like the scented ones. It was amazing. Anyway.
Nice.
That lasted a good while. But when I was I would have been like 17 and working in Sky. Yeah, I would have been in like 17.
You're 17. This gets worse and worse.
Well, because I'm trying to think how old. Yeah, I worked in a sports swimwear shop when I was 16.
I was literally sex at this age.
I mean, so was I.
And you're writing letters. Yeah,
so was I. And I swear to God, if my like boyfriend at the time ever hears this, he'd be like, this bitch was cheating on me in written word. What the fuck? I wasn't, by the way. It was like PG-13 letters. I worked in Sky Call Centre on a Saturday, Sunday, and so that would have been fifth, sixth year. And this guy, I don't know how this even came about. We were just like friends at work, and then was it that I moved away for uni, or did he move job? I don't remember what it was. I remember him passing one day, he was like, oh, I'll write you a letter. And I was like, I mean, okay, I like mail. I fucking love mail, to be honest. Like, if anyone wants to write me a letter, feel free. I love mail, that's not bills.
Maybe I will.
Please, honestly, postcard, all that shit, it's amazing. It's like such a surprise. But he did. He wrote me a full-on letter. And I think that just kind of continued for maybe like 6 months.
Wow.
Or so. And like at one point I got a mixed CD. And all the while we never hooked up. We weren't in a relationship. We didn't date. I don't think we even kissed, unless there was maybe like a drunk kiss at a work party or something, but I don't recall it. So therefore I'm not owning that. But
do you still have the documents?
I mean, it's gonna sound so extra, but I'm hoping most of the girls won't know what I mean when I say this. Like, I'm not sure if, like, I've not had a good route around my like little special box in a long time. you know that thing under your bed,
yeah,
that
shoebox
is a whole load of shit. Yeah, everyone's fucking got one. Yeah. I'm like, don't judge me, we all have it. So I'm like, where are they in there? But did I care enough to ever put them in there? I don't know, because I mean, largely he was pretty much a random.
So just remind me how you knew him.
How I know him, we just worked together.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, we worked together in Sky.
Okay, you didn't say that.
Yeah, strange one. Yeah. He would have been like a couple years older than me, one or two.
Oh, I'm going to take some time to think about this. You know that meme of like Chris from Love Island in 2017 when he's lying in bed at night in the dark just staring? This is going to be me tonight, just contemplating this information.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing.
In fairness though, I had really questionable decisions at that time in my life. Like,
yeah,
really questionable. I remember being training like at Sky, and I went on a date with, like, I was 17, I went on a date with my 28-year-old trainer. Now when I look back at that, I'm like, what was wrong with him? Why did he go on a date with a 17-year-old? Like, what the fuck?
That's bad, yeah.
But yeah, it's so crazy though when you have memories of all these people and things they've done, and I'm like, does that guy remember that he wrote me letters? Like, they have an impact on your life, and like, you never see or speak to them ever again. But yes,
yeah.
His name began with a C, and for all the people who know me that are following this podcast now, no, you don't know him.
Sherlock's.
I know.
So we kind of got onto this via, or we were going to talk about how social media has affected the design of friendships and stuff. And I guess, like, I had kind of a comment on this is because, well, I'm currently off Instagram, but I still go on via the podcast, so I don't feel like that much of a loss. However, I have previously had a couple of Januaries historically where I've deleted my Instagram, and something I did find one of the things that drew me back is just because of the fact that I actually kind of felt like left out or lonely.
Yeah,
because I think that people they get a lot of their, you know, their needs for social connection kind of hit by going on social media rather than historically that may have been to actually talk directly to someone. So I think people might actually put in less effort in their direct relationships because their needs are kind of getting met by going on to this platform and, you know, having an aggregated experience. And so yeah, it's kind of something I was going to wanted to bring up and wonder if you kind of felt that as well, that people maybe, I don't know, I can't even remember a time without social media, to be honest. But like, did we talk to our friends less? Because I remember back in the day, like when you'd top up your phone and you'd send text.
Oh my god!
I'd be sending text all day long, all night long, like, you know, like. And now probably not as much.
Oh, I totally forgot. Like, you had to top up your phone once upon a time.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus. I think with social, it's a bit like, not to be really like, I don't know the word, not necessarily judgy of it, because I do use social, I'm on social, and I talk to my friends via DM and stuff as well. But I think for a lot of your friends, it keeps things very surface, which is a shame, where like, they might post something on their story and you just send a reaction, and it kind of feels like you're engaging, but you're not really engaging, like, in depth, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I've kind of been trying to be better recently for, like, remembering things that are happening with my individual friends and then, like, going out my way to message them about that. So, like, if I know my friend is, like, starting a new job or something, I've been trying to be better for being, like, how's your first day gone? Like, how are you settling in? And, like, trying to keep up with that stuff. I've been attempting to be a bit better with that and making sure that, you know, they know that I am paying attention and that I care. Because, yeah, it's so easy when someone just puts up, like, that they're doing something, doing this. You just, like, send a wee smiley face or send a heart or something. And, yeah, you are kind of there for them, but not really.
In
a substantial way. So I think, like, it's a funny one. On, like, the good side for friendships, though, is, like, it's a godsend in terms of reminders, like, social to remind you people's birthdays and stuff, and like, you just forget, like, it's really helpful in some ways. And then also I think if you have long distance friendships as well, or people that you don't speak to as often because they're not in your direct vicinity, it's super helpful. And I would say as well, like, whole new networks, like, from a business perspective, like, I have found suppliers, like, via Instagram. Like, you would have previously had to Google and, like, really network the shit out of this, but I'm like, I've literally found small brands, like, via Instagram and, like, DM'd people that way, and started to build a working relationship that way, which is amazing, and that would never, ever have been possible, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reach is kind of crazy, and for that respect, it's also great, because it gives me, like, such an amount of information straight off the bat before even, like, reaching out.
Yeah, yeah, it's great for kind of, like, small businesses and to give them a leg up. Yeah. The pros and cons, as we've said before,
indeed,
social media.
That's very true. What about you? Like, what do you find on social? Are you the same? Like, I know you're saying you feel like you're missing out, but with having it now versus not having it, do you think in terms of your actual relationships or friendships, it makes a difference?
Not really. I think it's because... why do I feel like it's a strange one to answer, because I have had, like, before, like, I went through a stage of, like, deleting my Instagram and all social for January, like a January detox, like, for a couple of years in a row, and then what brought me back was, like, the FOMO. And you know what, I think I just answered it. There's no FOMO because no one's doing anything because it's a pandemic. I'm pretty sure, yeah, this is the reason. Okay, that all makes sense. that's why I don't like feel that bereft. Mm-hmm. And I have, like, you know, I still speak to, like, my really good friends on WhatsApp and stuff, and it's helpful being able to see, to still have access, like, via the podcast one, for if there's mm-hmm. someone, not someone, but, like, when there's the odd, like, inspirational, like, quote person that I might, you know, want to look up, so I can still kind of access the platform. But I haven't felt lonely, as I did previously going through social media kind of detoxes, and I haven't had FOMO. But yeah, I think I will get it back. It's part of our life now. It is part of people's social network, and yeah, you are kind of like, you know, missing out on some things. It mm-hmm. is bad in some ways. Obviously, we all know the downsides of social media, but I think it's here to stay. Although I'm not sure if, like, Instagram will be the main platform forever. Like, seems that each generation has their own.
And then, really weird question, but on the back of talking about pen pals and then, like, our upcoming cyber relationship podcast, have you made any friends on social? Like, where you've literally just been friends on social, you didn't know them, you've never met them, but you almost, like, DM each other and you have a little mini relationship, not necessarily a romantic relationship, but, like, a back and forth.
It's funny you say this. I do have something to say. Not friendships, honestly. Like, I think everyone who I would speak to in a friendly way that I am friends with. But what something I did have kind of, I've had a few realizations, like, because it's now kind of been over two months I've been off Instagram, that sometimes mm-hmm. I'll just remember an account that
having flashbacks.
Yeah, an account that I used to follow, and then I kind of see their stuff, like, every day, and then I was you know, following, like, 700, you know, like, followers. I was following.
Oh yeah, yeah. You see all
so people. It's like not even like major things, like, even just, I don't know, like, God knows. And then I would just kind of suddenly realize, like, I've not thought about that account in 2 months, and then but it has happened to me where I've thought about, there's people who I had on my Instagram who I actually have never met, and I would have got them from a dating app. So I'm talking about guys who I had on my Instagram, and, you know, whatever reason, it never surmounted into a date, but I still have them there, and I would still see their content, and they would still look at my stories. And then sometimes mm-hmm. there's people who we sometimes, you know, like our stories, and sometimes there's a few people there who I would talk to occasionally, like mm-hmm. not often. But then I was just, had a kind of realization after being away from Instagram for 2 months, like, how fucking weird is that? I've never met these people. Like, yeah, there's literally nobody, they don't exist. They don't exist in my real world, and never have. And yet I'm so kind strange. Of like buzzing because they've messaged me or liked my shit. And I'm like, it's literally not tangible. They're not tangible. I've never seen proof of their existence.
Yeah, but this, like, is that weird instant gratification, like, endorphin buzz that we get from, like, the interaction on social, which is just so strange.
Yeah, it's also kind of like,
yeah,
if I ever met these kind of, you know, guys who I never actually did meet, but we had did kind of build up it's not so much of a cyber relationship, but just, like, yeah, social media awareness and in each other's network, like, it would be fucking weird if I did kind of meet them now, because it's like, oh yeah, I can't even put my thoughts into words. But yeah, there are relationships or friendships I have on social media that have only ever come from and died on social media.
But, yeah, this is how I feel about meeting all my colleagues right now on Microsoft Teams. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to interact with you in person.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a real human? What?
Yeah, I'm sorry to start a job remotely as well. So, it's going to be weird getting to know, like, assigning, like, mm-hmm. a relationship and characteristics to, like, an avatar or, like, someone in your... in your computer.
I know, it's so strange, but yes.
Anyway, well, you know, I thought, like, I could finish off this episode. I have pulled up some quotes. Like, I when we were talking about doing an episode about, like, you know, friendships and how, you know, we shouldn't kind of forget about the importance of them, I thought about the old classic book, Dolly Alderton's Everything I Know About Love, which I hopefully a lot of people have read who are listening, and kind of the basically her book ends up being a love story about her friends, really. And she had some kind of nice quotes that I will kind of read out. She says, "Nearly everything I know about love I've learned from my long-term friendships with women." Another, "When you're looking for love and it seems like you might not ever find it, remember you probably have access to an abundance of it already, just not the romantic kind. Yeah. This kind of love might not kiss you in the rain or propose marriage, but it will listen to you, inspire and restore you. It will hold you when you cry, celebrate when you're happy, and sing All Saints with you when you're drunk. You have so much to gain and learn from this kind of love. You can carry it with you forever. Keep it as close to you as you can." Aww. Such a good
so writer. Cheesy.
Shut up! I'm a water sign. I actually really want to read her next book. Dolly Alderton's done a book called Ghosts. It's a fiction piece.
Okay.
I've heard it, like, I honestly, like, I'm on her, like, newsletter. I knew about it the minute, like, it got released, and then I just didn't buy it because I have basically a backlog of books. But my friend started reading it, and she was like, "You do know this is about a 32-year-old woman who lives in London who's just downloaded dating apps for the first time." And I was like, "Oh my God, I need to read it."
Oh God. But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, there's loads of, like, really good pieces out there kind of written, and even like TV and series and movies that are all about, oh my God, we both just watched Firefly Lane. Did you finish
yes when did you finish
I binged through this when you said you started watching it, and you were like, "Oh, it's actually all right," when you had like got a few episodes in. I binged it in like two nights, where like the second night I swear I was up to like 2 a.m. On a work evening, being like, "Oh, I need to find out what happened." I'm so annoyed by the cliffhanger though. It's like, what did she do? What did she do though?
Get that to fuck. Also, yeah, just,
and I'm like, yeah, no, like, obviously spoiler, but I'm like, did he die? Is he dead? I can't.
No, the thing is, like, we live in a unstable economic environment right now, and they don't know that they can actually commit to a second series. Like, how dare they do that, knowing that they might not be able to finish that thing.
Know what she got up to, because my whole, when it started that last episode, I was like, oh, she fucked her husband, that's what happened. And then
that's what I thought. Yeah,
that little tangent there threw me off, and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's happened here. But that is like a best friend tale, and that's like a really good example of being friends, drifting a little bit, coming back together, like always having that underlying kind of bond. And then another one of my favorites is about friendships is like the series Girls. Have you watched Girls?
No, I don't know. I'm so bad. I'm such a bad woman, but I need to.
So I loved Girls because, fair enough, it's there's like a lot of guys like drift in and out of it, like they all have relationships, but the bit I kind of is the friendships is like an undercurrent that's always there between the four of them. But what I loved is it was like very much real life, like there was nothing, like they didn't sugarcoat anything, so like there's a lot of like kind of sex and nudity and stuff in it, but no one is trying to be camera perfect, no one's body is like beach body. They are like super embracing of like what real people actually look like and how they function. None of this like perfect Pretty Woman movie scene sex on the piano shit. Like, it's very reality,
and it was quite kind of pioneering like at the time, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, I think it was so honest.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, they didn't try to make anyone perfect, but it was really good. I recommend Girls 100%.
Oh, these are great recommendations. Yeah, if we're not Firefly Lane, that's it really ties up to the theme of this episode. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, that's us wrapped on another episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, all of our thoughts about friendships, and also apologies. I'm sure you're probably sick of hearing us waffle on, but you keep tuning in, so it's not our fault.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, see you next time. Hear you. Bye. Next time. Listen to you next time. Oh, for fuck's sake.